Malachi, not a book that we hear a lot of sermons out of. Probably an obscure book to most of us. But the end of the New Testament, the one just before Matthew, if you're flipping through your Bible. We quote from it. You hear quotes from Malachi from time to time. It's from Malachi we hear about Elijah coming and to prepare the way. It's from Malachi, in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, the God says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." It's from Malachi chapter 2, verse 16, where the Lord says, "For the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce." A common passage that we have heard from time to time. So it's one that we quote from, but maybe not one that we hear a message from all that often. Sometimes we look at this and you read Malachi, it's because it doesn't have a whole lot of happy themes in the book of Malachi. If you look at the context of Malachi in the book and when it was written after Nehemiah, close to the end, after the temple had been rebuilt, after the walls had been rebuilt, after Jerusalem had come back and reestablished itself in Judah. You read through the book of Malachi, and God has some things to say against Israel. As we look and read and you skim over the book of Malachi, Israel's back up to its old antics again. God says, "I have some things to say against you." In verse 13 of chapter 1, it says that it was weariness. Oh, what a weariness to serve God. The God who had given them the land, a God who had blessed them so much, they said, now it's a weariness to serve God. In our text that we're going to be looking at in chapter 3, verse 13, as was read, he says, "Your words have been harsh against me." God brings up several times in the book of Malachi to his chosen people. He says, "I have some things to say against you." In this particular instance, he says, "Your words have been harsh against me." A people who have been directed by God, who have been given everything by God, are speaking against God. And they say to themselves, "How are our words harsh against you?" God says, "And yet you say, what have we spoken against you?" And God said, "You have said it is useless to serve God." These are God's chosen people. It would be like somebody sitting here in a pew next to you saying, "It's useless to serve God. It's useless." This is what God had against the people on the day of Malachi. It's useless to serve God. And they say, "What profit? What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance?" Now you read and you have read some of the Old Testament, haven't you? Did God do anything for the tribes? Did God do anything for Israel? How about just for instance, just the wandering period? They cried out for food, and what did God give them? Food, manna. They cried out, "Well, we're tired of manna. We want some meat." He gave them quail. God brought them out of bondage, where they were presumably making mud bricks, slaves to Egypt. Did God do anything for them? Did God do anything for the people of Israel when he gave them this nation, gave them this land, said, "You just march in, carry a sword, and you will be victorious. Have faith in me. Know that I will give you this land." Did God do anything for them? Did God bless them? Did God speak of a coming Messiah? And in this text, in chapter 3, saying that there was one that's coming to prepare the way, God indeed blessed Israel. And if we bring this into context for us today, people who say it's useless to serve God, I find no profit in serving God, look around you tonight. I have a family that's going to heaven because we've served God. How about you? You have brothers and sisters, and you have a relationship with one another. You have a relationship with God because you serve him. Prophet? God has taken away our sins. God has given us so much. Prophet to serve God. And they go on to say, "And that we have walked as mourners." You've heard people say, you know, you Church of Christ people, You know, you take all the fun out of everything being a Christian. You know, it's just a killjoy. And people think of God as this cosmic killjoy. You can't have any fun serving God. You walk around as mourners serving God. And that's what they're saying about God. Serving as mourners before the Lord of hosts. And so now we call the proud blessed. And for those who do wickedness, we raise them up. And they even tempt God and go free. What are they doing? They're taking those who are wicked people and raising them up. There's no prophet serving God, but look at these people. Look how blessed they are. Look what they're achieving. These are Fortune 500 people. Look what they're doing. And they're not serving God. It's useless to serve God. I'm getting no profit. Nothing's happening to me. But look at all these other people. And so they begin to exalt people who are wicked. They begin to raise up people who are proud, who tempt God. This is the mindset of the people in Malachi's day. And when you read the book of Nehemiah and you see how they were people who wanted to serve God, they built a wall around Jerusalem in how many days? 51 days. 51, 52. Go back and read Nehemiah and you'll figure out. They built a wall around Jerusalem in 51 or 52 days with a sword in one hand and a trowel, so to speak, in the other, fighting off those who would fight against them. And now they're saying it's useless to serve God. How had they come to this point? But read verse 16. There's a happy side to this. Then those who feared the Lord. We think, especially now, we look at the world around us and we say the world is going to hell in a handbasket. You know, our children are going to these schools. It's horrible. How can they do that? We look at the society that our children are being raised in and it's horrible. But what about Rome? What kind of school systems did Rome have? Temple prostitutes, common. Rome was no shining example of a society either. And so truth be told, there's always been a part of society that is against God. And you're going to find that when Satan is part of this world. You're going to find that. But what about here in verse 16? Then those who feared the Lord. But you're also going to find those who fear God. What about Elijah? Fighting against Jezebel, and all those prophets of Baal were slain. Man, that was a great day. A great shot in the arm for Elijah, wasn't it? There on that mountain, that contest that they held. But then Jezebel sought to kill him, and he runs off in the desert, and he says, God, I'm the only one left. And God said, no, you're not. I still have many who have not bowed their knee to Baal. Go back and do the work I've given you. There's always going to be those who fear the Lord. And verse 16 gives us comfort. When we think we're the only ones, everybody else is doing wrong, God says, I'm listening to you. Look in verse 16. Then those who fear the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. What? They spoke to one another. They weren't speaking to God. They weren't praying to God. They weren't even talking up when they were talking to one another. They were speaking to one another about what Malachi had been giving to them. Those who feared God heard God's message. God said, I have something against you. You say it's useless to serve me. And those who feared God heard this message and said, what are we going to do? They began talking to one another. We don't want to go back to captivity. We don't want to go back to where we came from. And God begins to say, I'm hearing what they're saying. Do you ever feel you have no one listening to you? You're shouting in a crowd and no one's listening to you. There's a story of a young woman in Genesis chapter 16 who felt like nobody cared about her. She felt she was abandoned by the man who she had a child with. The woman who was her owner wanted her to go out in the desert and die. And in fact, that's where we find her, this young woman named Hagar in Genesis chapter 16. Her water source has run out. She's a stone throw away from her child that is screaming, crying. Have you heard a child that's screaming and crying that wants something to eat? That's the worst, worst sound. I hate that sound. Vivian comes up to me and screams. Now she comes up to me and just screams when she wants me to pick up. That's different. But you who are parents know a starving baby screaming. That's the worst sound there is. And she's a stone throw away from her child who is screaming, trying, you know, just waiting to die. God comes to her and an angel and said, I'm going to give you the promise that I gave to Abraham. I'm going to give you that promise. And she said, thou, God, seest me. God saw me. She was out in the desert by herself, waiting for her and her child to die. And she said, thou, God, seest me. And when you think, I'm the only one serving God, children, teens, when you think you're the only one at school that's serving God, God says, I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing. Adults, when you're at the workplace and you think, man, it's such a drain spiritually to go to work. I've been there. I have worked in some crude places with some crude people. It's a drain to be. Now you're thinking, where did he work? You know, you work with mechanics. They're not known for their morals. You work for people who are wanting to cheat people out of their dollar. People who are salesmen. You work with salesmen and they want to cheat people just to get that buck. And you're thinking, I have to be around these people. But you have to make the right decision. And God said, I'm there listening to you. I know what you're saying. I know what you struggle with. I know what you're going through. And these people here, when Malachi gave this message to these people, and those who were righteous, those who feared the Lord, spoke to one another, and the God listened and heard them. How encouraging. How encouraging. But read on. So a book of remembrance was written before him. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Seems like I've heard of another book where names are written in. Here we are at the end of the Old Testament, and a book of remembrance is written. The end of the New Testament, another book is written, right? Book of life. God said, I'm going to remember these names. I'm going to remember so that when my son dies, blood is going to be on these names. Blood is going to be on these names. Book of remembrance. God remembers those who serve him. He says, a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. These people who feared God and meditate on his name are those who said, it's profitable for me to serve God. I found profit in it. Look at Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. David was a man who found profit in serving God. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf shall also not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. David found profit in serving God. But these people who began to look at others, the Fortune 500, so to speak, of their time, said, it's useless. I'm finding nothing in God. But David, man after God's own heart, said, it's profitable to serve God. He goes on to say, but the ungodly are not so. Read the rest of that. The ungodly are not so. Verse 6 of Psalm chapter 1, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous. God knows. And isn't that the message of Revelation when God, Jesus, speaks to the seven churches in Asia? Every time he says, I know thy works, I know your works, I know your works. Jesus knows what we're going through. God knows the things that we struggle with. And he writes your name down if you are serving him. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, what does it say? The whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. Fear God and keep his commandments. Look in verse 17. And Malachi, he goes through so many times and says, I have this against you. You're doing this wrong. And he rails on these people this time, and rightly so. Rightly so. But look here. Those who fear God and meditate on His name, who find profit in serving Him, who don't say it's useless to serve God, He says, they shall be mine. I shall own them. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, and on the day that I make them my jewels. Textual variant says they're special treasure. You want to be God's special treasure? You want to do what Dan talked about this morning and make God happy? You want God to say, that's mine. That's mine. I love that so much when Dan talked about this morning, when a father says, that's my boy. That's my boy. Every child wants to be accepted. Teens and children today are doing so many horrible things just because they're crying out to the parents, I want to be accepted. I want you to know me. I want you to have a relationship with me. And God here says, I know you, and you will be mine, and you will be my special treasure. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. That's what God says. That's the kind of relationship He wants to have with us. And that's for those who say, I will serve God. I will have a relationship with Him. That's His children. And He says, and then you will discern between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve Him. Can we judge? Can we judge? God says we will be able to discern between those who serve God and those who do not. Do you know who serves God? When you go to work, can you find people who don't serve God? We can discern between those who do not serve God. Now, it is true in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, Christ says, judge not, lest ye be judged. But let's turn there for just a moment and look at what we're talking about. How many of you have heard this thrown in your face before when you're talking about people who are doing something wrong? How many of you have heard this? Well, Jesus said, judge not. And I think in the back of my mind, Satan quoted Scripture once before and it didn't work out for him. You don't want to say that to your friends, by the way. That's not a good way to be. That's not a good way to win souls. Look in chapter 7, verse 17. Chapter 7, verse 1 says, judge not that you be not judged, for with the judgment that you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And Christ is talking about harsh judgment. People who are using harsh judgment. But look in verse 17. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Simple enough, isn't it? A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. So can we judge? We can't judge people's hearts because that's what Christ does. That's what God does. But can we judge their fruits? Marshall Keeble has said in his quote, a famous quote about this, he said, we cannot be judges, but we can be fruit inspectors. And you can see people's lives. And parents, you can look at children and say, don't be like them. Parents, have you done that before? Don't be like this person. Because you see the fruits of their life and it's nowhere. It's going nowhere. But you can also hold somebody up and say, be like this person. Because you look at the fruit of their lives and you say, this is a good person. Imitate this person. Imitate Christ. In verse 18, it says, then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve Him. God allows us to discern between the righteous people and the unrighteous people. We don't pass eternal judgment on somebody's soul. That's not what we're supposed to do. But what we're supposed to do is hold up what God says. John chapter 12, verse 48, Jesus said, you'll be judged by my words. The words that I've spoken will judge you on the last days. And He goes on to say, the words that I've spoken have been given to me by my Father. And so you'll be judged by the word of God in the last day. And so we can hold somebody's life up and say, here is this person, and here's the word of God. Do they fit together? Are they in harmony? That's what God says we can do. And so when somebody says, you know, you're not supposed to judge me. You don't know me. Don't judge me for what I've done. And you hear that all the time. All the time. Don't judge me. I don't like people who judge me. And I get sick and tired of hearing it. So sometimes you say, well, let's look at that passage. Let's read the rest of this chapter. And look at talk about fruits. I'm not judging your soul. I'm judging the fruits of your life. You want to be somebody who says, it's useful to serve God? Do you want to be somebody like that? Do you want to be somebody who says, God says, this is mine. This is my special treasure. Do you want to be a special treasure of God? You can be a special treasure of God. You can be a child of God. You can come to Him and have that relationship. You can say, God has done so much in my life. He's taken away sin. He's done so much for my family. He's put us back together where we couldn't do it ourselves. He's given me direction in my life. He's helped me cope with temptations. He's given me strength. He's given me power. And I found that in His Word. I found that in a relationship with God. Do you want that tonight? You can have that. God says, I'm waiting for you to have it. I've provided it for you. I've left a way of invitation for you. But you have to come. You have to accept Him on His terms. You have to repent of your sins. There are sins that are keeping you back from a relationship with your God. You have to repent from those and turn away from those, as we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Repent. Repent from our sins. That's turning away from our sins. You have to confess Him before men, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. And according to Jesus Christ's own words, you have to be baptized. Mark verse 16, verse 16, chapter 16, 16. You have to make those choices. And God is not making you make these choices. God is not going to force you to make this kind of choice. Everybody has a choice to make. Everybody has their own life to live. But God's saying, I can provide you a better life. One that's profitable. You might not be a Fortune 500 person. You might not have everything you want in life. Physically. But will you have a home in heaven? Will your name be written in the book of life, as we read in Revelation chapter 12 or 20, verse 12 and 22, 19? Will you have your name written in the book of life? You will have that. And you will have those blessings. Just as these names were written in the book of remembrance, you will have your name written in the book of life if you accept God on His terms to be a child of God. Tonight you have a choice to make. I pray that you make a choice to serve God and serve Him only. Please make that choice as we come now and as we stand and as we sing.